Welcome to the AI podcast, where we dive into the latest advancements in artificial intelligence and explore how they are shaping the world as we know it. I'm your host, Eli Schaefer, and today we're diving into a fascinating topic, the evolution of AI models and how recent advancements are making them more efficient and accessible. Let's get started. So over the past few years, we've witnessed rapid advancements in artificial intelligence, particularly in the development of AI models, things like LLM or just different language models. And this is something that's really interesting. So traditionally, these models have been large, complex, and resource intensive. So they take a lot of CPU, a lot of computer chip power to power these large language models, these AI models, and it requires like massive computers to do this. So, and the data that these take also take up a lot of storage. So there's definitely a lot of resources that go into it. But recent innovations are changing the landscape, making AI more efficient and accessible for a wider range of applications. Today, that's what we're going to talk about. One of the most significant breakthroughs in AI model optimization is low-rank adaptive, or LORA. Instead of fine-tuning billions of parameters in a pre-trained model, LORA involves freezing the model's weights and adding trainable layers. These layers represent the changes in model's weight as two small metrics in each transformer block. This approach dramatically reduces the number of parameters that is needed to be updated. And so this right here speeds up the fine-tuning process and it reduces the memory required for model updates. So this is actually really revolutionary. Recently, Elon Musk just reallocated a lot of AI chips, a lot of CPUs to their new AIX program instead of, they took them away from the Tesla cars. So they moved them from Tesla's AI system to work on X's AI model. And it's really interesting to be able to see how these recent advancements in updating the efficiency of these large language models, how it's going to affect even just like the computer chip industry as we know it right now, because now you don't need as much powerful computer chips in order to run these language models. So this is really good. Another game-changing technique is quantization in these language models. So it's similar to like reducing the bitrate of like an audio file or like compressing a video file to save space and improve performance. Quantization lowers the precision use to represent model data points. So for example, it can convert like 16-bit floating point numbers to 8-bit integers. This reduces the model's memory usage and speeds up interface, combining quantization with the LORA, known as QLORA, just for those who are more tech savvy and want to use the acronyms. And this further enhances the benefits of these language models. So the direct performance optimization is also gaining traction. Traditional methods for aligning model outputs with human preferences often rely on reinforcement learning from human feedback. So humans would be able to rank if the feedback of a large language model of like something like ChatGPT, right? They can rate if it was like a helpful response. I think that's still something ChatGPT has. If you ask it a question, you can pick like yes or no, like there's a thumbs up or a thumbs down button, and that helps reinforce the AI if like what it's doing is right. So that's like the traditional way for it to gain feedback, which it can be complex. It can be a little unstable. Some people are a little bit biased. So DPO offers a more straightforward, approach to this. It's a bit more lightweight. It's alternative that archives similar alignment benefits without the same level of complexity. So it's a little bit more simple, and because of that, there's less errors that you can see in this. So it's really good.
So these advancements are not just like exercises or academic exercises. They have like real world applications. So for example, they enable the development of AI models, and more specifically, like the powerful AI models, stuff like ChatGPT, on a more modest hardware. So you don't need, like I was saying earlier, pretty soon AI models are actually, they're taking up less resources to run, which is really good. This means that similar companies and even individual developers can create and deploy sophisticated AI solutions without needing access to like massive computers, which is great. So like on my computer right now, I don't have a super like intense computer. I don't have an intense GPU. I can run AI on it locally. Like I could disconnect from the internet. I could run an AI. But my computer, because it isn't super strong, it isn't super powerful, it's really slow. It takes a long time for it to answer and come up with the solutions to what I'm asking it. But what's really cool about this is we can see that they're starting to take up less computer power. So like people like you or me, they could have it like an AI locally downloaded on their computer that could potentially be as like sophisticated as, I mean, as much storage as you're able to download the data. Like you could have a ChatGPT on your computer, and it could be just like a regular computer. It doesn't have to be anything super fancy. So one of the most exciting aspects of these developments is the potential for customized local models. And enterprises can tailor open source AI models to their specific needs without relying on big tech companies. This is particularly valuable in sectors like healthcare, finance, and legal services, where specialized vocabulary and concepts are essential. So you're really able to now customize these language models, these AIs, to be like pretty much a trained professional. Like you can now download these and you could have a lawyer on your computer, which is crazy. And right now there still are AIs that can do stuff similar to this, but this is a little bit more advanced in that it's able to run locally and it's not taking up as much resources. So that also brings the cost down, which is incredible. And you can just train like all of these language models off of your like own data. So the more you train it, the more fine tuning and it gets, and the more specific tasks it can do. So another crucial benefit of smaller, more efficient models is data privacy. So like I said, you can run these models on like a local computer. You don't have to like give everything to like OpenAI, for instance, or Google's Gemini. Like all of these can be locally. So if you're asking it to, I don't know, like maybe code software, you're not necessarily giving that up, because anytime you do anything with AI, that information goes to Google. They can use it to train. And so there's just, I guess, a little bit more added level of data privacy for these people. So yeah, you don't really need to send like your private data off to third-party servers to run this. This is especially important for industries handling like personal or confidential information, as it reduces the risk of data breaches and ensures compliance with privacy regulations. So one thing that I can think of right now is I was talking to somebody that works for the government and they do financials, and they can't use AI, even though it would be so much easier, just because it is a government-run thing. That added security has to be very high-end. And so the government right now, they're actually working on their own language model, their own AI that they can use, because they know this is something that's very beneficial. So having something locally run for even like government officials, they could have their own personal AI assistant on their computer, that data, there's no risk of it really being breached or leaked because it's all locally contained, which is really cool. These innovations they also pave the way for more powerful virtual agents. As models become more efficient, the capability of them just becomes like larger, and the like what they can handle is a broader range. So it's really, really quite impressive. So yeah, this is what is happening right now. So in summary, the evolution of AI models is making advanced artificial intelligence more accessible to the everyday user, and low rank adaptive quantization and direct preference optimization are transforming the way we develop and deploy AI. It enables smaller players to compete with industry giants and ensure that sensitive data remains secure. And as we move forward, it's clear that these advancements will continue to shape the future of AI, which is incredible. I think it will unlock a lot of opportunities. That's all for today's episode of the podcast. I hope you found this discussion on evolution of AI models fascinating, as I did. I hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a like, leave a comment. We will be back in the next episode. Thanks for tuning in.